Hey, welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I'm your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt, and we're continuing our study of Hebrews, and we're going to wind up this study today, and we're going to look at chapter 13, a couple of passages that I want to share with you. And it starts out, says, "Let brotherly love continue." But I want to go on down to verse 5 and 6. This is a passage that I know that the Holy Spirit made very real to Sue many years ago. And verse 5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" So it was this section here, "For he himself has said." Now he's quoting something God has said, a promise that God made. "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Now, there are many promises of God's faithfulness and so on, but this seems almost like a direct quote from what God said to Joshua shortly after the death of Moses. And Moses was such a large figure in the eyes of the people of Israel. So many miracles God did through him, brought them out of the land of Egypt and led them through the wilderness. And Joshua was his understudy. And so, you know, there was a danger that they could get, too much consumed with Moses rather than God himself. And so God said to Moses, God said to Joshua, he said, "Moses, my servant is dead." But then he's going to assure him, "But I'm not dead, Joshua." And he says, "As I was with Moses," verse 5, "as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Wow, isn't that a wonderful promise? "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Jesus gave the same sort of promise more than once, but the one that comes to mind at this moment is in John chapter 14. I believe it's around, and I'll just flip over in my Bible to that so that you will have the exact verse. It's John chapter 14 where he's promising the coming of the Holy Spirit. And verse 16, he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide or remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans." The old King James says comfortless, but the word is orphans. "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." In other words, I will not abandon you. An orphan is some vulnerable child that has been abandoned. And Jesus is saying, "I will never abandon you." Wow. Same thing God said to Joshua. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Jesus, "I will never abandon you." And in the last chapter of Matthew, he says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So this promise applies to you, my friend. This promise applies to you. God will never leave you nor forsake you. He will never abandon you. And because he has said that, our testimony, because we trust him, because we trust his character and we trust his promise, we trust what he says, our testimony should be something comparable. "For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can mere man, what can mere human beings do to me?" God has said he will never leave me nor forsake me. He'll never abandon me. So I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can any mere human being do to me when God is with me and on my side and has given me these wonderful, precious promises? Isn't that great? I love that. Thank you, Lord, for your promise that you will never leave us or forsake us. You will never abandon us, but you're with us always, even to the end of the age. Thank you for it, Lord. I pray that you will give someone a very real assurance today, oh God, that you have not abandoned them, that you are with them, and you will strengthen them and guide them through every situation of life, in Jesus' name. And then verse 7, he says, remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. More than once, I've had people to ask me about this word rule. Remember those who rule over you. Now, it's interesting, the word there, that is a poor translation, rule, because it literally means to lead. Remember those who lead you, who are leaders among you, who have spoken the word of God to you. Now, if he had wanted to use a word like rule, there is a Greek word for rule. It's called archon. But interestingly, archon, which means to rule, it's like a, and it is used of pagan rulers, kings who ruled, who had absolute rule over their subjects. It is used in the Bible of secular kings, archon, but it is never used of a Christian leader, never. And so remember those who are leaders in your midst, we could translate it, or remember those who are leaders among you, who have spoken the word of God. And then it says something similar further down in verse 17. He says, obey those who rule over you. But again, it's not the word rule. There are different, the word rule, the Greek word would have been archon. There's another word, Greek word despot, which means master. And both of these refer to people who have absolute control over their subjects. The Bible never uses these kind of words for Christian leaders. And then it says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. The word obey, I looked it up in my Greek interlinear and in the Greek lexicon, and the Greek word is peripheste. And it gives several meanings, such as obey, but it gives a meaning to hearken to one who is advising. To listen to one who is advising. In other words, be teachable, be respectful, and be teachable. So what he's calling them to do is not to be little robots who don't think for themselves. No, he's calling on them to be respectful and to be teachable towards those whom he has raised up as leaders in their midst. Wow. That puts a different light on it, does it not? Yeah, we need to be respectful. We need to be teachable. We're all still learning. But never resign yourself to somebody else's control over your life. Absolutely, only Jesus Christ, only God through Jesus and His Holy Spirit has absolute authority in your life. Now, he ends, I'll read the last few verses and I'll bring this to a close. Verse 20, he says, now may the God of peace, he is called the God of peace. And one way you can know if God is leading you, there will be a sense of internal peace. The devil has no peace. He brings upset and turmoil. But God is the God of peace. And if God is guiding you, you may have opposition and tribulation on the outside, but you will have his peace. You will have his settledness on the inside. Now, may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd, the Greek word poimen, which is translated as pastor in Ephesians 4:11. He's the great pastor, the great shepherd. And that's what the word poimen and pastor means. It means shepherd. He's the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, because that's the adelphoi, the Greek word, refers to both men and women. And I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, bear with the word of exhortation. In other words, please bear with me and listen to this. It's been a long letter and I've dealt with some heavy things, but please bear with me and be open to receive the truth I am seeking to get across to you. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, bear with the word of exhortation, for I have written to you in few words. Now, he considered it a short letter. It could be few words. But he goes on and says, know that our brother Timothy, wow. I think Paul is the only one, a biblical writer in his letters that refers to Timothy. Timothy was, he were very close. So this would be another reason that some would determine and think that Paul wrote this letter, but we don't know for sure. Know that our brother Timothy has been set free. Wow, Timothy has been in prison. With whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Greet all those, and there's that word again, rule, but it means lead. Greet all those who lead you and all the saints. Those from Italy. So this person is writing from Italy, probably Rome. Those from Italy greet you. Grace be with you all. Amen. And there we come to the close of this incredible New Testament letter to the Ephesians. And this has been more so a devotional approach. We have not gone into great detail, but I have tried to cover the great major themes of this letter. And I hope you will share these episodes with your friends, and you may want to go back and listen to them again and again, because I know there's some rich truth in them. And I want to pray a prayer for you right now. Lord, I thank you for every person who listens to this episode and to this series on Hebrews, that their hearts and their minds will be filled with your truth, that their vision will be filled with Jesus Christ as never before, that he is the fulfillment, he is the summation of all that God is doing in time, eternity, heaven and earth. He is the fulfillment of all those Old Testament types and shadows. And we thank you for Jesus. And may every person who listens to these episodes be more committed to follow him as ever before in their lives. Bless them today with special blessings from on high. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This is Eddie Hyatt. Check out my website, eddiehyatt.com. You're welcome to friend me on Facebook, follow me on Twitter. You're welcome to send me an email. There is contact information there. And I look forward to seeing you next time. God bless.